Go ahead and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This chapter is interesting to me because this is where we were getting the information, I should say, about how do you deal with bitterness. Again, this whole series has been about parenting detours. And I understand, you know, you can teach your kids and do things, and sometimes kids go out on their own and do their own thing and rebel, and you know, we teach and preach against those things, but many times, have we looked at the perspective of what have I done as a parent that perhaps has caused a detour in the lives of my children? And that is a very heavy and weighty fact to consider. The responsibility and the accountability that we have for our children. Have I done anything that would hinder that? I feel the same way with that when I look at the students that I've taught for 16, 17 years, or, you know, some have taught many, many. Mrs. Pepper's been teaching since the Ark. Okay. She was right there. And I mean, you think about the myriad of students that have been under our care, and we think, well, Lord, did I ever do anything that would perhaps get one of them off track? Or cause there to be an issue, or like, I was talking to one of my teachers the other night about that, and they were saying it's the scariest thing to them that, you know, sometimes you don't know what's in the mind of a student, and maybe you're teaching something and you say one little thing that might make them get disinterested in a subject. Or maybe they misunderstand one little thing and then they get disinterested in spiritual things. And well, that's a heavy and weighty responsibility to say, Lord, we want to do it your way. We want to keep the truth and the gospel and the word of God in the forefront. And that just makes it a lot easier when we focus on the Lord. But many times, you know, the responsibility of that for my own children, maybe others, if I'm a teacher, under my care, whatever the case is, but are there some detours that are things in my life that I'm doing that I shouldn't do that may cause some type of issue? So we've been going through these detours. The first one was a delayed discernment. If I'm not able to understand the truth of God's Word on my own and be able to explain it on my own and understand why I serve the Lord, why do I keep His commandments? It's because I love Him. I've been hitting that hard with the high school this week. We've been doing a four-day, actually, seminar on the book of Revelation. Canceled classes for 2 hours a day on Wednesday and Thursday. We're doing the same thing next week. And we're just doing a survey right through the book of Revelation because they've had so many questions and they're curious. They don't know what's going on in our world today. And it has been an incredibly blessed time with them. Very good attention, a lot of good questions. And we thank the Lord for that. But some of the things that I've mentioned to them, and I get sidetracked and get on rabbit trails, you know that about me. And I've mentioned to them many times, you know, in the book of 1 John, it says that there's a new commandment. And that is that you love one another. Through Christ, the new commandment we have is based on love. And I said many times, young people need to fear. They need to learn the fear of the Lord. They need to learn obedience. They need to learn to follow. And as they get older, they better understand, well, why do I do that? Am I doing it because I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint my parents, or I'm afraid of this or that or the other, or what people are going to think? I struggled a lot with that growing up because we were taught and ingrained in us that if the preacher thought you were spiritual, then everything was okay. If the principal of the school thought you were spiritual, then you were. So what does it become then? It becomes a show. And so you're just putting on, oh yeah, good, I tricked him. We wouldn't actually say that, but way deep down in your mind, it's actually what we did. So, but I didn't really understand why I was doing certain things. Why do I want to have this in my family? Why do I want to follow this? Why do I look at the Scriptures and work out my salvation with fear and trembling and come to those things? Because I love the Lord. I realize what He's done for me. And I can explain Deuteronomy chapter 6. There's going to come a day when they ask why. Now, when they're really young, they may not need to know why. Sometimes I'd say the old hated phrase that I hated when I was a kid. You know what I'm going to say? Mom says, hey, da-da-da-da-da. Why? Because I said so. Mom, don't say that. You know, just, grr. You didn't like that very much. There's time and place for that, definitely. But as they get older, they better know why they believe what they believe. They better know why they want to follow the Lord. Why do we look at God's Word and study? And we've got to know biblical answers for things. But if I'm delayed in that as a parent, then my children are going to be delayed as well, and I'm going to actually get them detoured. If I'm not making a big deal out of spiritual things, then they're not going to make a big deal out of spiritual things. It's not going to mean anything to them. The second one we looked at that we've been studying the last week or so was, and we started last week, defiling bitterness. It's a big battle that we face. If we allow bitterness to come up into our heart and in our mind, we're going to cause some problems and get our children off track as well. Some of the things we looked at, you know, for example, we always think we're treated unfairly, or my rights are violated, or self-pity and I'm the victim, or holding grudges, I can't see the good in people, everybody's out to get me, you know. What does it say? Nobody likes me, everyone hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. Is that the thing? I can't remember. It's been too long since I've said that. When you say, okay, well, there was a whole song or a poem, I guess. I don't know all of it, but it's okay. All right, love it. Y'all can come up and recite this for us. We'll have a class production and we'll call it good. But yeah, you know, I'm going to eat some worms for me. Or as they used to say, you know, the poochy lip disease. My mom used to say, you better get that lip back in before somebody steps on it. And, you know, if I wear my feelings out everywhere, then they're going to get stepped on. I try to tell that to the kids because they don't hear that anywhere. It's like, oh, so-and-so hurt my feelings. They're bullying me. Well, then quit being sensitive. How dare you say that? You're being mean. No, I'm not. I'm teaching them to grow up. Don't take everything so personal. Guess what? People make mistakes. People are going to say mean things to you. It's going to happen. You got to learn to deal with that and give it over to the Lord and move on with life. But we love to take things personal because we want to get bitter. We want to have self-pity. We want to respond as, I'm the victim and poor me. And we started dealing with this passage in Colossians chapter 3 of how can we counteract bitterness in my life as a parent to make sure that my children don't pick up on that, which, by the way, they will pick up on. Our bitterness, our problems, our inconsistency, they will pick up on it, especially the older they get. But Colossians chapter 3, I love this chapter. It's, you know, set your affections above and you have a new life in Christ and there's these old things, mortify your members on the earth. There's these things that we're going to avoid and we're going to put off some things in verse 8. And we're not going to lie, verse 9. We're going to put on the new man, verse 10. Then he goes to verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. That's different, by the way. We can forbear somebody, but still have it in our heart that we're holding something against them. I can put up with them, but I just don't like them. Is that what it says here? Only forbear them? No, it says forbear and forgive. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. And then he goes into the rest of the chapter, starting in verse 18, about relationships. Verse 18, wives, submit to husbands. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter. It's interesting that word bitter is there. Verse 20, children. Verse 21, fathers. Verse 22, servants and masters. And in verse 23, whatever you do. The point is, if I am not following the prescription of verses 12, 13, and 14, then I am going to have problems in those relationships at the end of the chapter. I am going to have some bitterness, maybe at my job, servant, master, employer, employee. Maybe in my marriage, husband, wife. Maybe with my children, where I'm provoking to wrath. That bitterness will come up in our relationships. So how do we protect our family? We started this last time. How do we prevent the growth? We've got to cultivate mercy. We've got to prevent the growth of bitterness. And these are right here from Colossians, and we correlated it also to 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. So here we're going to cultivate mercy. Seeing every situation from the other person's point of view, that's hard for us. Because I don't know you, but I like to jump to conclusions. Kind of a natural thing for us, isn't it? And many times we don't put ourselves in another person's situation. We don't understand maybe what they're going through or what's happening. It is mind-boggling what some of these children have to go through. It's sickening. It makes you want to go take them out of that home and care for them yourself. It's heart-wrenching. And when you learn of something, you're like, oh, well, that's why the last couple of days have been like this for that poor kid. But learning to see from another, there's a different perspective, because, you know, I'm just in, I've got a family and my own kids, and I've got to stay at home and a house and a roof over my head, and we're just going and doing, and not everybody has that. But learning to look at the, you know, it's easy to say, oh, look at that. We don't know what happened with that person that day. Not excuse anything wrong or sinful, but, you know, there's a perspective that if we look at, we've got to have some mercy. If we cultivate mercy, we're going to diminish the possibility of bitterness growing. The next thing there, so it's mentioned in verse number 12, as the elect of God. Bowels of mercy was the first one. Kindness in verse number 12 was the second one. Kind words and actions. You know, it's one thing to think kind thoughts, but it's another thing to actually execute them. You know, kindness goes a long way. A long way with people. You know, being hospitable. You ever been over to somebody's house and they just treat you wonderful and you're like, man, I love coming over here. You know, and you just feel welcome and hospitable. And we should be that way as believers, shouldn't we? Even to people that, oh, what's that? You know, even the homeless man that asked for money. You ever had that happen? I mean, I have it happen all the time. The last time I think I was accosted, or whatever word you want to put there, I was going into Wendy's. This is several years ago. And I was a homeless guy. And he said, hey, man, I need some money. I just need a little bit more to be able to get a room to sleep in tonight. And I said, well, number one, I don't carry cash. That's probably a problem. I hardly ever have cash. And then I leave my wallet, and then Chris has to bail me out. So it works out good for me. But, you know, I said, I don't have any cash on me, but I'm going in here to Wendy's. I said, you come right in here. I'll buy you whatever. If you're hungry, I'll buy you some food right now. Oh, man, that'd be great, you know. And took him in there and I bought him whatever combo he wanted. I said, hey, you want a Frosty? And his eyes got big. I said, yeah, get a Frosty, whatever. And I talked to him about the Lord. And I tried to witness to him. He said, oh, I know Jesus. I've loved the Lord my whole, and on he went. You know, it's hard. Sometimes they put up a wall almost. But I don't know his heart. Maybe he does know the Lord. I don't know the situation he's been through. No idea. But I'm gonna try to be hospitable to the guy. And it's hard sometimes because my first instinct is, what's his problem? It's hard. And I've heard the thing, you know, I have friends that I know that tell me about one of my friends has a particular family that he knows, that one of the sons is homeless. And the dad has a very nice business, has offered tons of times for his son to get a good, I'll hire you, I'll give you this position, you'll make this much money, it'll be great. And he turned him down because he said he makes more money in the streets panhandling. So there's that side of it too, you know. So you got to be balanced and be wise, but at the same time, you ought to seek to help people. We keep food in the kitchen we have homeless people come right up here, and they'll want money. Well, we're not going to hand out money, but hey, if you're hungry, we'll give you food. The good one is, I've had this happen before. They come up, hey, I just need 5 gallons of gas. Of course, back then it was only like 10 bucks. Now it'd be 100. I need just 5 gallons of gas. I just need to get to the other side of blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? No problem. There's a Shell station right down here. I will meet you there. I'm leaving right now. I will fill your vehicle up. No problem. You know how many times I've done that and they never showed up? Okay, fine, no problem. But I'm at least going to offer. I'm going to be hospitable, try to be a witness to them, try to talk to them. I was hoping they'd show up. We could talk about the Lord. But half the time they don't show up. Like, we don't know the situation, but we better cultivate kindness, because if we're cultivating this mean spirit and our children are watching, bitterness is going to grow and they're going to get detoured. And they're going to act like us, unfortunately. Many times I start getting on my kids about the way they're acting, and Megan just goes, oh, yeah, that was me, wasn't it? Oops. Then you really have to go eat the worms. the big ones, the small ones, the slimy ones, the squishy ones, all of them. And say, well, I didn't set a very good example, did I? Oops. They're watching. They're watching. We got to move quickly. Cultivate humility. Humility. We discussed this. A sense of your littleness. Littleness. When we start thinking of ourselves as all this, there's going to become problems because bitterness grows in proportion with pride. We think we're better. We think we're the best. We think we're great on down the line. And then we think, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not even apologizing for nothing. Okay. You can do that, but guess what? Guess who's watching? Your children. And you're taking them right off the road on a detour because of your bitterness and pride. Let's continue. Cultivate meekness. I think this is where we left off last week. A temperate spirit that accepts all that God does as good. That's hard. That's hard for me. Am I the only one? I mean, is it easy for y'all? That's great. You're way down the spiritual road farther than me. Because it's hard sometimes when God's doing this, this, this. And I'm like, man, I know, Lord, it says all things work together for good. But this is really frustrating. I've tried to learn. I know many of you don't believe this. But I've tried to learn the older I get is to, all right, it's okay. We went through something. I don't even remember what it was. I know what it was. It was the big three. You know, bad things happen in three, as Megan's mama used to always say. Bad thing happened in three. So my dryer went out, almost caught a fire and burned the house down in the middle of the night and didn't know it. Then my washer went out. And then my refrigerator ice maker went out. And so I just started looking on the internet how to fix them, repaired all three of them myself. John helped me with the dryer. But then I was able to find the parts, get everything fixed myself. And Megan said, why aren't you upset? There's no reason to get upset. If I was probably a little younger, I would have been just furious and I probably would have picked him up out of the thing and just chunked him through the window and said, I'm done here. You know what? You got to learn. I'm not perfect at this. I'm not saying I've grown. Y'all know me. I've got a long way to go. Like, you know what happened? There's nothing you can do about it except deal with it. Why did the Lord do it? I don't know. I don't know yet. Maybe there's a reason out there somewhere that had to borrow some people's washer and dryer a couple times and, didn't have ice working really well and water kept sloshing on the floor, but we got it fixed. It was good. Learned some stuff. I thought maybe one thing that it taught was my boys were kind of impressed. They were like, wow, Dad, you can fix anything. I said, son, it's called YouTube. Okay? And it's called, I don't want to spend $800 on a washer, $800 on a dryer, and a couple grand on a fridge. I don't want to do that. So we're just going to spend $150 to $200 total on parts, and we're going to fix it ourselves. And it works. That's the miracle. It still works right now. Maybe there's smoke going up right now. I don't even know. But they were impressed. They were like, wow, Dad. And I said, guys, you can do those things. And our first thing is call the repairman. Oh, it's going to cost $600. Oh, get a new one. That's what they want you to do. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. But where was I going with this? Meekness. I don't know why those things happened. But it's for good. Nathaniel and his family don't know why he has stage 4 cancer. I've got to be meek to accept it, because if I'm not meek, I'm going to be angry. And if I'm angry, I'm going to get bitter. And if I get bitter, my kids are watching. Now, there's times when we have complaints to the Lord. I think about Jeremiah. Everybody's all mad at Jeremiah. Jeremiah complained to the Lord. How dare he? Okay. At least he complained to the Lord. We gripe and complain to everybody else. He took it to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know what you're doing and I don't like it. I mean, he's being kind of honest with the Lord. And God showed him, God answered. And then he learned to deal with it. But this, our children are watching, and if it's always anger and explosion instead of meekness, and then they're going to learn, well, even when bad things happen in life, God's going to use it for good. You know, I keep thinking back to the whole, I told you when I went to Tampa with Todd and the car fiasco and then leaving the key there. And I just was like, well, I'm going to stay calm because I'm an idiot. I just forgot to take the key off. I don't know why I did it. I was more mad at myself, frustrated. Poor Todd had to sit on the front porch for about an hour. He said, oh, I got a lot of baseball scheduling done. I was great. It was beautiful outside. And I said, oh, poor Todd sitting up in the front porch, just people by driving by. I'm like, what is this guy doing? But, you know, I look back and I say, God worked it out for good because those managers knew me. They're like, oh, it's him again, the bald guy. Like, hey, we know you. Oh, yeah. And they hooked me up to get home when our flights got canceled because they had zero rental cars available and no rental car agency in that entire airport had any. And he did me a favor to extend that rental and make it a one-way drop, which, you know, it's hard to do that. But he just did some weird things on the computer that the other managers couldn't do. And it worked out. God did it for good. I don't know why. And he teaches us stuff. But getting angry and frustrated isn't going to help. God uses difficult situations in our life to help us grow. And if we're not meek, and if we're not cultivating meekness, we aren't going to grow. We're not going to grow. And that's the way the Lord works many, many times. You know, we talk about faith a lot, but it takes real faith to believe that God means it for good. And I was, maybe this is the wrong way to look at life. I don't know, but it may have been Seth. We were just talking and I said, you know, son, it's kind of interesting. We've had it pretty good in our life. I haven't had anything major bad happen to my family. And I think something will happen. I'm not trying to be some negative person. My parents, you know, they have health problems, but they don't have cancer or anything, or one of my children hasn't died of some disease or gotten sick. I mean, you know what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say? I say, Lord, I don't know, but I'm kind of mentally preparing. Lord, what if something does happen? Can we just take it in stride and follow you? Maybe, I don't know if I could. Maybe the Lord's going to test me and find out. Again, I'm not trying to be downer and negative and pessimistic and all that. I'm just trying to think through. I mean, you think about what would happen if something like what's going on in Ukraine happened? We're going to serve the Lord and take it in stride and say, Lord, this is for good. We're going to find the good in it. It's hard for us to do it. It's hard for me to do that. It's cultivating meekness. We've got to move on. Cultivating long suffering. These are things that if I can do these things in my life through the Lord's help and His strength, I can defray the rise of bitterness. Long suffering is simply, listen to this, it's patience when you're treated badly. It's one thing to be patient and wait, you know, like if you're, you know, at a fast food restaurant and the lines back out to Highway 90 or something and you're just sitting there. It's one thing to be patient. But what about being patient when people are treating you badly or ill or unfairly? You know, we like to pull that. That's not fair. Well, that's going to happen in life. There's going to be a lot of that's not fair. Well, just go swallow it down and keep going. Okay, so it's not fair. What's the big deal? Do what God's called you to do. But be having patience when being provoked by other people. Maybe they don't understand what's going on in your family. Maybe they keep, they just have these negative thoughts toward me and I just, you know, So, be patient. Be patient. Don't allow it to provoke. Reacting with patience is very difficult for us, and not having anger or thoughts of revenge is very difficult for us. Well, I know it is for me. Maybe y'all are a lot farther down the road, and I'm sure you are. But reacting with patience is very difficult for us. They just keep pushing that button. You ever had somebody do that to you? They keep pouring the salt in the wound and then scrubbing it in real good. Like, oh man. Be patient. Be long-suffering. Don't think thoughts of revenge or I don't get mad, I get even. You ever heard that? I don't get mad, I get even. That's not really God's long-suffering that He wants us to have as His people. And so, again, like I've told the young people many times, and I tell my own kids this, if someone's provoking you and you get angry and bitter, that was your choice. That's your choice. You can choose to not get angry and bitter. You can choose to not be offended. You can choose for your feelings not to be hurt. You can choose to not think it was unfair and to just go with it. Cultivate long suffering when we're done wrong. The next one, cultivate forbearance. Again, these are right from Colossians. We haven't been going back to that verse, but they're all here in Colossians as well, verse 12, verse 13, as well as 1 Corinthians. What is forbearance? It literally means to endure. Kind of that word patience we've been talking about, in the Greek it means to bear under or to take that load and to just deal with it. Just deal with that load. Be patient. So our response to, even if somebody's doing something to us that might be unintentional or careless and they may not even understand it, but we're just going to endure. We're going to bear with. Well, maybe there's a fellow brother of yours that's a lot more immature than you. You know that can happen? Maybe there's a new young Christian that's not grown very much yet. Are we going to be patient? Are we going to forbear? Forbearing one another, Dr. Brock says, it is turning the patience up one more notch. That's hard. Like, well, Lord, I'm already being patient. And then they do this. And the Lord's like, well, kick it up a notch. Hard. A lot of people are patient with me. Ask Caitlin, you need to work with me for a week. Need a lot of patience, right? She's like, I'm not responding to this. I'm not getting dragged into this. You need patience to deal with me. Why shouldn't I give patience to other people? I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to say things I didn't mean. We've got to learn to be patient. One more notch. Well, Lord, you don't just understand that other person. You don't understand them. You're not married to them, Lord. No, I don't want to go down that track. But, you know, one more notch of patience. You know, oh man, they left their socks on the floor again. You know, sometimes I look at my wife and it's like, well, yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to wear these pants again tomorrow, so let's just lay them there. She loves that. We'll move on. We'll move on. Cultivate forgiveness. The next thing, and that's right there in Colossians, I should say, verse 13. It is to show yourself as kind, as gracious, as benevolent, to grant forgiveness, to pardon someone. It's not an absolution from consequences, don't get me wrong, because with error and sin and wrong comes consequences. But our relationship can be restored, even if there are consequences. That's forgiveness. You know, even if we are willfully wrong, that's the hard one for us, isn't it? They did that on purpose. They did it on purpose. Forgive. As Christ has forgiven us. That was mentioned there. And as we said the other day, no one has ever done anything to you worse than what you've done to Christ. No one ever did anything worse to you than you have done to Christ. And He forgave you. We should forgive others as well. We're going to go to the next thing here. So, first, we have to protect our family. We have to cultivate these characteristics in Colossians chapter 3 and in 1 Corinthians. That's one step. The second step is to seek reconciliation. You know, I have an issue with people that say there's no reconciliation with his brother over here. Now, we're not talking about reconciling with apostasy and error and sin, but I've been in situations before, even as a young person in my 20s, I was in a situation where I was told to my face that, well, there can be no reconciliation with that brother. Really? Where's that in the Bible? I don't see that. If we aren't willing to reconcile, then the bitterness is going to come out, our kids are going to see it, and they're going to be detoured. It's that simple. Some passages here. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. I can read it if you're not there. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Go to him and talk about it. Get it worked out. Go get it worked out. And if he repent, forgive him. Okay, that's easy, right? Oh, brother, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. But you know what? I'm sorry too. And then you move on. Well, that's the easy ones. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now that's where it's hard. You old rotten scoundrel, you did it again. This is number 6 today. I'm counting. When we get to 7, I'm done. It's not the intent of the passage here. In other words, we're rotten. That's all there is to it, is we're rotten. We're going to offend. We're going to do things. And sometimes we're so stubborn, we may see it, and then we do it again, and don't even, we're like, why did I do that? Because we're rotten. And maybe that brother needs some help. Go pray for him. It's clear here, you better forgive him. Lord, he did it 7 straight times in a row. Repent. Forgive. There's also Matthew 18. We don't have much time to go there, but we know that passage very well. If your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he won't hear you, take two or three more. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. If you neglect to hear, go to the church and so forth. There's going to maybe come a point where he doesn't repent, and that's a whole different story than someone who is repenting and wanting to reconcile, but he just keeps messing up. Say, well, I'd never do that. Okay. Well, I'm glad we think that much of ourselves. He repents, forgive. I don't think he meant it. That's not your job to know what he thinks. It's not our job to know their motive. It's not our job to say, well, I think that he didn't mean that. Okay, well, now you're going down a path of bitterness, and you're going down a worse trail than he is. And that's our pride stepping up. Always forgive. Here's a quote from Dr. Brock. Whether they are sincere or not, can I determine that? No. I can't. That's a tough pill to swallow. Well, I think they weren't. Or I think they were. And they may have been and been deceiving you. It goes both ways. You may believe they're sincere and they weren't. Or you may believe they weren't sincere and they were. Whether they were or not is not our problem. It's not for us to answer and decide. But if we have honestly forgiven them, we have destroyed the power of bitterness in our life. It's hard to come to this kind of stuff. It's hard for me. I'm proud. We're all rotten. We're proud. We're rotten. We want ourselves to excel. And so we're all out for number one. And we've got to ask the Lord to let that, it's got to decrease, and He must increase. Third thing, we'll hopefully get through this. We then, we follow Colossians chapter 3 to prevent it from even starting. Then secondly, we can protect our family by reconciling to people. And then thirdly, we can protect our family by demonstrating the love of God. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood with that and think we're talking about the mushy, gushy, worldly versions of love where you just love everybody and it's all that matters, and situation ethics, which that's their whole premise, is as long as you display love, it doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. Just that love was displayed is all that matters. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about the love of God as we read in the Scriptures. Let's look at it quickly. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. You have heard it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, Lord, that's really hard. What did you just ask me to do for my enemies? The things that are in that verse, real quick, here they are. Love your enemies. That's the right attitude. Bless them that curse you. Bless your enemies. That's the right words. And then do good to them. You mean to the people that don't like me? Yes. Yes. Ugh. Lord, you're killing me. Don't ask me to do that. Those three things. And then also has a fourth thing. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If we have the right attitude, the right words, the right action, and the right prayers, those four things are easy for the people we like. Isn't it? Yeah, that's real easy. What about those that are out to get us? It's a whole other ball game of difficulty for us. Well, we're going to stop there instead of getting into the throne. I think tonight, in our message tonight, we're going to take a break from 1 Corinthians to try to get this third one done. So if you want to just stick it in your Bible, the handout that we gave today, stick it in your Bible, bring it back tonight. There's just three slides or so, but you know me, it takes me a while to get through one. So hopefully we'll get that wrapped up tonight and go into that. But I pray that, you know, our right attitude through our right words, our right actions, our right prayers, our children are watching. This is how we can protect our family from being detoured because of our bitterness. We can prevent it. We can reconcile. Our children see that. Wow, Dad was humble there. They see that. Wow, Dad prayed for his enemy. Wow, Dad blessed them instead of cursing them. Boy, that's hard. It's tough. But our children are seeing this, And we don't want to delay or to get them off the path or to detour them. Father, thank you again for these passages we've been able to study. Lord, I pray that as parents, we would truly seek, Lord, those things that honor you. Seek those things that put our children, our young people, on a path to where they can learn more about you, be ready to serve you, not to be delayed and think that, well, Christianity isn't for me. We have too many young people that are growing up and going down that path. And many times it's because of the failures at home, failures in our churches. Father, strengthen us in this, that we seek your face and seek to lead our children down the right path. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.